Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name is Shino.
And I'm Nathan.
Thank you for joining us today. Today, we're going to continue in our sermon series called Together. You know, you can be in a room together. You can be in a house together, an apartment together. You can even be at a restaurant together, but not be together. And so what we've been doing, we're talking about the significance of our values of helping people to know God, grow together, discover purpose. And today we're going to talk about making a difference. So Pastor Nathan, why don't you tell us a little bit about making a difference?
Well, the passage that we're going to look at today comes from Matthew chapter 28. I say this all the time, if you got a Bible. Please go get it, pull it out, study this thing with us for a minute here. And we're going to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. That's verse 20. Here we go, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray together real quick. Father, I pray that today you speak through the Holy Spirit and through your word. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, that he holds and possesses all authority. We want to go and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we'd like to do here today, in the middle of this passage, are two words. It says in the ESV, it says, "Go, therefore." In the NIV and in many other translations, it says, "Therefore, go." Therefore, go. And this is what we want to break down here together today, is therefore, go. What's the therefore that God is giving to us? And what's the mission that God is giving us? What's the go? Where are we going? What are we going to change out there? When I think about the world, I know that there is an immense amount of brokenness. I think of the racism. I think of the violence. I think of the ecological disasters. I think of income. I think of financial needs that people have. I think of poverty. I think of hunger, abuse, all sorts of extraordinarily horrific instances that need our help in this city. But friends, we first have to establish not just the needs that are out there, but what's the therefore? What is compelling us to go? Otherwise, if we just enter into the fray, we enter in with our energy, we enter in with our anxiety, we enter in with our authority. But I believe that Jesus wants to call us to enter in with his authority, with his power, and with his message, so that we're not a part of the system, but we're actually able to enter in and make change as we've interacted with God and been changed by him. So something that Shino and I wanted to do today is mix it up a little bit, preach something together, and share what were our therefore moments and how has God used us in the past to go, and then talk to us as a church around how we can go and touch NYC. So Pastor Shino, come on, step up in here and let's talk about your therefore moment when God started to call you, when God started to get a hold of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's pretty unique, Pastor Nathan and I doing this together. And you know, we love working together. We love to pray together. We love to do life together. We love to minister together. And so for me, you know, my moment for me was more of, I didn't grow up in the church. And so for me, opening up this Bible and someone sharing the gospel with me, somebody explaining me sin and salvation, lordship and repentance, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but getting planted in the house of God and then going and do something for the Lord. And you know, for me, that moment when I understood what Jesus Christ did for me, his shed blood, his resurrection, he did that because he loves me. It broke me inside. And all I wanted to do was say, "God, now my life belongs to you. How can I serve you? What can I do for you, Lord, because of what you did for me?" And so I remember just, you know, being in the church and, you know, serving and in the children's ministry, and opportunities would present themselves, being a former athlete and being able to go into high schools and colleges and to share the gospel. And through that, God began to really speak to me that this is more than just going and sharing your testimony, but I want this to become a calling. And as I embraced that and took the proper steps of being educated and being discipled and trained, you know, I stepped foot on my first ministry opportunity, which was at Tennessee State University, a historically Black college and university there in Nashville, Tennessee. And I just began to minister the love of Jesus to these college students. And, you know, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:20, that God is calling you and I to be ambassadors for Christ. And something that Pastor Nathan said about going with authority. You know, when we go on behalf of Jesus, we're not going alone. In this same scripture verse that he's talking about in Matthew 28, it says that he will be with us. And so as I was going on that campus, ministering the gospel, God began to use me to minister, to call up and call out young African-American men and women to not only eventually come into the gospel or to serve Jesus, but to go make a difference on their campus. And we as a group, you know, we got together and said, you know what, if we can do it here at a state college, Tennessee State University, if we can do it here, maybe we can go across the street about a mile up the road and do the same thing at Fisk University, which is another historically Black college and university that's a private institution, very intellectual. Now, we had to really come with our A game because, you know, you can't fool people. People are smart. And so we had to really come with our A game. And I remember just a handful of students, maybe 10, 15 of us getting together on Tennessee State University and crying out to God, Lord, give us this, give us this university. Do what you're doing here at TSU over there. We didn't have a campus ministry there. And so we just load up in a van and we go over, we pass out flyers. And, you know, as we're passing out these flyers, man, you know, it was something about doing life with somebody. Doing it with somebody, going out there and sharing your faith and sharing your testimonies. And those college students were intrigued by these other college students because they kept saying, if God could do it for them, surely he can do it for us. And not just us, but our campus. So we get a room and we begin to, you know, set the stage and get a worship guy. And we get somebody that's going to bring the word, which happened to be myself. And, you know, we start bringing these students. They're invited. And there's something about going out and inviting people into a place where they can be touched by Jesus. You know, we're talking about making a difference. You know, if you can reach the campus, you can change the world. And so this is what was so significant about it, was because, man, as the word of God went forth, you could begin to see students weeping and crying because that preached word of God was going deep into their soul and deep into their heart. And we give a call of faith where students came down and was like, you know what? I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And the first student that came down was a man by the name of James Braxton. And I remember discipling this young man after he gave his life to Jesus, just like somebody did to me. And I began to show him how to take this word and to take it and minister to others. Go do likewise. And as he did that, he began to reach his college students. And from that moment, man, it began to grow and grow and grow and grow. And next thing we know, we looked at, we had 30 to 40 college students meeting in this auditorium every Thursday night at Fisk University. And you know what? This young man became our student campus minister. He became our campus minister. To this day, he's still ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ at Fisk University. Him and his wife, Latanya, they're doing a great job down there. But we're talking about making a difference. And it was something that Pastor Nathan and I were talking about while we were coming up with this message. It was just talking about not just leaving a legacy, something we can point back to, because that's still going on today. That's happening right now. But we're also talking about securing the future for others, because people are now coming into this Bible study that was planted maybe 10, 15 years ago, and people's lives are still being changed today. It's not about what we used to do. It's about what we're doing right now. So, Pastor Nathan.
Dude, that's awesome. Pastor Shino, what I love about this is that when you chose to enter into ministry positions, you were not a minister by profession. You were an athlete by profession. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that in that, well, I'm not a professional minister. In the past week, I've been ministered to by my cab driver. I've gotten to pray with him. He was trying to share the gospel with me. I was like, bro, we're on the same team here. Same thing with my doorman. And they both said, that's my ministry. And this is what I'd like to see our church really own in, is that wherever God has called you, maybe you're not an athlete, maybe you're not a pastor, but you are something. You are a student. You are a mother. You are a teacher. You are an educator. You are a doctor or a nurse. You are something. And so God would call you to use whatever platform he's given you, a cab driver, a doorman, an office worker, whatever it is, to start to make a difference in that space. And I believe that there's unique places that each of us are to go. I mean, the Bible says the kingdom of God is like leaven. Yes. And this is who we are in this city, is we're leaven. We're going to work our way through the dough of New York City and start to change things everywhere we go.
So good, Pastor Nate.
And I love also this point that Shino is talking about, that when you build a legacy, everybody wants to leave a legacy. We want to leave a positive mark on this earth. But friends, when we choose to not just leave our legacy, but we choose to build the kingdom, we don't just leave a legacy, we secure a destiny. It's not just a thing that's by and by. What was the name of this young man that you?
James Braxton.
James Braxton. James Braxton's name is written in the book of life. We're going to meet him together. We're going to celebrate what God did through Pastor Shino years ago, and the way that James Braxton's life has changed. It's changed his family. It's changed his generation. It's changed those college campuses. When we work in kingdom work, we're not just leaving a legacy. We're securing a destiny. This is such good news. Friends, this is the most influential thing that God could call us into. Yes, we're gonna change circumstances as we do it. Yes, we're gonna see situations and family lines changed as we do it. Yes, we're gonna leave a lasting mark on this earth, but we're also gonna build a destiny. We're gonna secure destinies together as we do kingdom work. My therefore moment, unlike Shino, I grew up in church, but I thought that somehow made me better. And when I was in college, and towards the end of my college career, I started to get a hold, or God rather, started to get a hold of my life in a brand new way. It started to soften my heart, seeing that I was deeply sinful. I wasn't born as a Christian. I needed to be born again. I had made that decision young and early in life, but I hadn't seen the day-by-day necessity to live in the truth and in the power of the gospel for me, much less seeing it flow through me. And so I started to see that Jesus had to die for me, that I was poor, I was wretched, I was sinful, I was no better than anybody else, and going to church or being born as a pastor's kid made no difference in the kingdom of God, lest I be born again. And I could start to see the grace of God toward me, day by day, receiving, needing his shed blood to change my life. This rocked my world. It did a couple of things. One, it humbled me, softened my heart. Thank God he started to humble me. Two, it started to give me extraordinary confidence, because it's not based on my work. It's not based on what I did day by day. If I was up one day and down the next, it's not based on that. It's based on the completed, finished work of Jesus that I get to go out into the city. And number three, it started to turn me out of my inward, selfish, self-seeking, prideful self and out onto mission. I stopped outsourcing my mission to, oh, the pastors will get it. Oh, the evangelists will get it. Well, some people are called. No, me, shy, introverted Nathan started to get turned up and turned out and turned on to the mission of God. Yes. So stop, friends, outsourcing your mission. Jesus came to save you, and as such, he's calling the same call that's in Matthew 28 to his disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's time for us to start to, therefore, go. Go. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Shino, to talk about how we can start to go. And I also want to share a little bit about how God started to turn me out in the University of Edinburgh, yes, and in that city to go.
So here at Every Nation, you know, we have a couple opportunities for us to get together and mm-hmm. go. You know, October the 24th, we're going to open up our doors to our community. And we're not just opening our doors just to kind of, hey, we got it all together. We know what's best for you. But we're opening up our doors from the love of Jesus, a heart of love of Jesus, because you know what? There are people around in our neighborhoods that are broken, they're hurting, they're going through a difficult time right now. And it's time for some people to experience joy. It's time for people to experience life again.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, we'd love to bring families, to bring neighborhoods together and really have them come on this property here at PS 254. The address is 215 West 60th Street, and to come and have a great time. Hear the preached word of God, but yet afterwards come and hang out, enjoy one another, do life. Who knows, maybe relationships are built. Maybe all of a sudden you have an aha moment. Man, I didn't know you guys were there. And you know what? It's not just for people that all look the same. We're opening up our doors to everybody. People from Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe, the Middle East, the Caribbean. We want all walks of life on the campus, on the property, to enjoy what God has done and what God continues to do through Every Nation, New York City. And so as a church, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to minister and to administer the gift of hospitality. You know, we don't want people just coming through the door and all of a sudden we're huddled up in our own little world and with our own friends. But no, we want to be hospitable. Hey, how can we help? What? How can we pray? You know, little things like that. People, I've not met anybody since the last year and 18 months, or excuse me, 18 months, I have not met anybody that does not want prayer. I'll say that again. I haven't met anybody. The word, people that don't, the non-religious people right now are more open than anything. They're ready. Somebody tell me, what can I do to get peace? What can I do to rest? What can I do? And you know what? We have that answer. And his answer is Jesus Christ. And so as a church, we want to be ready. So we're going to have flyers for you to be able to take and hand to your friends, to your coworkers, to people in your community, and invite them out October the 24th. They're at PS 452, 215 West 60th Street, and to enjoy what God is bringing to us on our campuses. Man, it's going to be a great time. Please come out and participate in that. But you know what? We're doing this because we want to show people we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. We're here for the long haul, not just for the right now, but we want to show people that we love their community. We love them. And by doing this, we just want to open up our doors and say, welcome, come on in and enjoy what God has done for us as a church. Pastor Nate.
Thank you, Pastor Shino. I want to give a little vision for what might happen here. I love what Pastor Shino is sharing in that this moment, October 24th, as we open our doors, this is just a moment to say to the community, we're here, we're listening. This is not exactly how we know that this is not the most effective way to meet the felt needs of the community, but this is a way that we can start to develop a relationship. And so something we want to do is start to have a community, a team here within our church that's listening to the community, that's hearing what's worked well, what's hearing what's failed, that's hearing their felt needs so that see where we as a church could respond. Like I said earlier, I started to get a hold of my heart with the gospel in a fresh way in Edinburgh. And I started to see that my life really had to be in service of him and reaching out to the people that he cared about. When I moved back into the city after raising some funds and I got launched into my ministry proper, out of college and into my ministry proper in Edinburgh, God started to put on my heart, he said, Nathan, I want you to always have an open room for anybody that I bring your way. And this was a unique season in life. I was a young man. I was single. And so I said, all right, God, I rented an apartment with a spare room, which is a stretch of faith for me. Honestly, it cost more than I wanted to spend, but I did it. Had a spare, very small, like tiny room. It was about this wide, but it had a lofted bed in it. And this began my, hey, I just got out of prison ministry. The first man was a sex offender, a registered sex offender, that came and lived with me for about a year. I helped get him back on his feet, helped move him into his own place. The second man that God brought my way had just been released from a 15-year stint of incarceration. He had been in for attempted murder and for drug use. And I worked with him through some of his addictions, some of his vices, and I shared with him, I'm no better. Except by the grace of God, I too would be bound. I too would be guilty. I too would be under the law. But thanks be to God, he set me free. And my heart was for this man. And we were in it together. I remember this man looking at me and saying, Nathan, no one else, everybody else has judged me. but you have not judged me in this moment as he shared his past with me. Friends, when the gospel grips our hearts, it changes us, and so we actually have a real message to go with. Therefore, go. Another thing that I did was I gathered a team of people and we listened to the felt needs of the community. And one thing that kept coming up was that our playground's broken down and we need this thing fixed up. And so we got a missions team, we got money, we raised money, and we brought a missions team in. We redid a playground in our local community. It was just a for the love kind of moment. We just did it for no other sake that God loved us and we love you. We didn't expect anything from it. But Pastor Shino, like 12 kids started coming to our church from this moment. And they weren't church kids. They were pretty much street kids. Because here, 8 to 12 year olds were leaving their home. Their parents didn't know where they were. They were just wandering out into the community and going to church at 10 a.m. and their parents didn't even know they were there. It was in this moment that I really started to get to know my wife, because she was a young woman. She was a college student running our kids ministry at the time. And she started to take care of these kids. And the good church people in our church started to get mad at these kids and say, kick these kids out of church. They're disturbing the service. They're teaching our kids bad words. We don't have time for them. And I watched my wife stand up for these young children and say, I don't think that's what the gospel would have us do. Our God went to great lengths to save me and to save us. How dare we kick these children out of our church? Out of our hearts, out of our lives. And week on week, we were stretched and stretched even thin, but it brought us into places again and again and again where we had to say, therefore, God has saved me. God has arrested my heart. God has saved my life. How dare I not love them? How dare I not serve them? It was hard. But week on week, we hugged the cactus, as it were. We embraced the gospel. And we embraced these kids just as Christ embraced us when we were unlovely, when we were nasty, when we were less than sanctified. And it's a lie if we think that we've arrived in that place anyways. Day by day, God forgives us. So how would we not love our community? How would we not serve our community? How would we not obey our Lord Jesus who came after us when he says, therefore go. Therefore, go. And as we walk into this community, as we open our doors, we don't do it because we're better. We don't do it because we got finances, we got some special formula. We do it because Jesus has arrested our hearts. He saved us from ourselves. We do it through his love. We do it with his authority. And we do it with his power. And so I'm inviting you, perhaps you've never been to our church before. Perhaps you've been gone since the pandemic. Come on out. We're going to be outdoors. You don't have to attend the service that morning. We want you to. We would love for you to. We don't have to. Come on out on October 24th to 215 West 60th Street at noon. We're going to serve lunch. We're going to have a blast. We're going to serve our community and say, we're here. We're here for you. That's what it says on all of our signs around our venue. Here for you. And friends, we're here for you to know God, grow together, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Yes, we're going to minister to felt needs as well, but our real need is to know God, grow together, discover our purpose. Now, let's go make a difference together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray over everyone that's watching right now that you turn our hearts out, that we take the digital invite. It's at ennyc.info, to take that digital invite and invite our classmates, invite our kids' schools, invite our colleagues and workers. Hey, we're doing an event in the community. Lord, we move with you as you move us under the power of the Almighty Jesus, the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father. We move with you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. Please join us every week here on Every Nation New York City's YouTube channel. And you know, the beauty of this is that, man, every time that we come together, God does something great. Please join us. Please come out to 215 West 60th Street. Have a great time with us. Looking forward to seeing you. Bless you and have a great day.
You have been listening to the Messages podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.